All righty, thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate Thursday night. I think they passed out the notes. One thing we forgot to announce, children's practice, they'll be singing on in 2 weeks on Youth and Family Sunday, so they've been practicing. Are we practicing in here tonight? In the chapel? Okay, in the chapel, so make sure you go right over there after the service. Thank you again for being here on a Thursday night. I know you got a lot of you have to come from work. You've had a long day, and I appreciate you being here. We're going through the book of Proverbs, not through the book of Proverbs. We did that several years ago. We're going through Proverbs in a specific subject. The subject is avoidance, things that God tells us to avoid. We understand that Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and wisdom is the ability, I think it's in your notes, to apply God's truth to everyday life, and I don't want to hammer that. It's not how much you know, it's how much you apply to your life. Knowing the Bible isn't necessarily helpful if we don't apply it. Knowledge and understanding, as we mentioned last week in the little introduction, is just a prerequisite if we are going to live it in our lives. And so we want to look at that. We've looked at several different areas. We looked at God wants us to avoid sinful people. There are some specific paths in life that God wants us to avoid. There are stern punishments God wants us to avoid. And he wants us to avoid slackening protection. Last week we started on a subject, sensual passion. Now, I want to say this. I hope you hope as I go through this tonight and as I did last week, take it in the spirit in which it's given. This area, and I won't go through it. We gave all the statistics last week, but it is killing our country. It's literally. If you would have told me the things that are allowed under the name of whatever you want to call it would be driving the bus of the end times, I would have never thought that. You know, when I became a Christian, started serving God in the early 80s, we talked about the coming of the Lord, and you know, there's guillotines, and they're getting ready to cut people's heads off, and everything's lining up, and that may all be true, but we never thought that one of the things that's really pushing the division in our world is just degenerate behavior.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, you meet someone, and I don't see it often, but we were on family vacation. I think it was last year. Was it last year? We stopped in Portland. And by the way, Portland's another world. It's like everything you've heard and then some. And we went to their little museum, and the guy had the thing on. Well, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And it said, "My pronouns are." What? You know, someone says, "My pronouns are they." It's like you're not even plural. That's a violation of English grammar. It's like, I'm not going to call you by, I'll call you. I'm just, we can't even figure out who we are. And that it's normal. But it's all a part of deviancy, to be real honest with you. We read the verses there in Proverbs chapter 7. I won't read them again. We went over them. But when we mentioned this area, why it's important, we said, and just a couple things of review, and we'll get right into it. Jesus raised the bar on what is acceptable or what is not acceptable.
Right.
You know, well, Pastor, you were a little bit too blunt last week. I'm probably going to be a little bit blunt this week as well. But I'm not being blunt to be blunt. I want us to get this because it'll destroy your life. It really will. And your future and all those different things. But if I'm talking about some of the physical things, look what Jesus said. But I say unto you, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
We look at the action. Jesus talked about the mental attitude. He said, if you just think about it, that's heavy. That's super heavy.
Yep.
Seems to me that Jesus thinks that purity is a big deal. And that keeping ourselves right in this area is a big deal. We looked at what Proverbs said about it, and Proverbs chapter 5, and we're going to look at several verses, and we'll switch over to chapter 7 in a minute. But he says, he's talking about just being buying into this whole thing. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, he goes, "For the lips of a strange woman." Now, this whole thing is about immorality. And let me say this. The wording here is geared to women, but it applies to men as well. But I will say this. You know who holds the key to this thing? Women do. Say, Pastor, I don't understand that. If you're an adult, you understand that. Okay? You can shut it down in a moment's notice. And I'm not saying it's not the man's fault. He's equally guilty and so forth. I just disavowed what I said. It's for men and women, and then I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying let's be careful. But that's the picture he's using. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, God says this stuff, not me. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. You should write next to that, ouch. Lest thou ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. You say, Pastor, let's talk about a strange woman. And if you want to substitute strange guy, whatever. Who is that? Anybody who is not your spouse. That's it. Well, I don't have to worry about spouse. I'm not married. Then you stay away from people. Okay? Thanks for the two of you. You just really encouraged me there. So we looked last week at a couple things. We said consider the end. By the way, that's applicable to anything. Most people live their lives making their decisions, not thinking what would be the ultimate consequence or where could this lead me in the future, and we make a moment in the decision and we pay for it for a really long time. We said stay far away. He says remove thy way from her, and I'm not going to go over that. He tells us to follow the light and then follow the commandments. And then he says control your desires. Control your desires, and that's in chapter 6. Lust not after your beauty in his heart. And that's what Jesus was saying. Because that's where it starts before it becomes reality in action. It started with relishing it in our minds. And so that's where we're at. And again, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited tonight. I'm just trying to help us. Because if you're going to stay morally right in this world, you have to work really hard. You do. You just have to. Okay? And it's not easy. Everything in our society, you can't watch, and be careful what you watch. You can't watch sitcoms or regular television or movies without them throwing it in. It has nothing to do with it. And that's an agenda, by the way. And that agenda, which started many years ago, is bearing the fruit of the nonsense which we're seeing today. And so I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. Please take it for what it is. Next, here we go. You ready? And we're talking about staying pure. Notice warning signs. Notice warning signs. Now, he talked about what we shouldn't do, but we're going to flip to Proverbs chapter 7, and the verses will be there. Notice warning signs. This is geared to men. And the reason the Bible here is geared to men, and you got to understand this, men are motivated more. How'd this fall? That's a problem. Men are motivated visually. Yes. Right? You ever see a beautiful girl with a dumpster fire? It's like, we wouldn't say, that guy, how in the world? Because they're motivated different ways. But guys struggle with what they see. We looked at what Job said last week. And so we have to be careful of this. And so take this in the spirit in which it's given. First of all, what are some of the warning signs? Provocative attire. A provocative attire. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. What's that? If you don't understand, go ask your mommy. Come on now. It's advertisement. It's advertisement. By the way, you do not want to get a guy with that kind of bait. A guy that likes that. Can I just tell you something? You could be the most beautiful, well put together lady in this room. And I was going to say, I don't know who that is, but it's my wife. You get points? Do I get points for that? Thanks. All right, appreciate it. But I don't care who you are, there's somebody out there that's better put together than you. You have to have an attraction to one another. Don't get me wrong. But if that's your bait, a fish is going to find a better bait. And that's not the kind of guy you want. Okay? And so be very careful. But, and they say, well, pastor, you know, what was the attire of a harlot in those days? It was well known, whatever it is. Yeah. And I could do the research and all that. But can I just say this? I don't even want to look when I say it. People always talk about, hey, in the Bible day, they do this and that. The majority of what people wear today, if you wore that in the Bible days, we would have all been considered harlots. Because we have set the bar so low. Our society has just geared us towards, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, wear a gummy sack or, back in the days when they were poor, you know, they would buy their food and it'd be in like the little sacks, right? And the ladies made their dresses out of like, you know, a rice bag. Don't do that. Right? I'm not saying. But I'm saying, be very careful. Let's have the right attire. In the world, we can't control what's out there, but we have to control it. And to be honest with you, as a guy particularly, because again, as I mentioned, guys and ladies are motivated differently. As a guy, you're going to have to purposely look the other way. You're going to have to purposely be careful. You can't control what maybe passes in front of your eyes once, but you can control whether it lingers. And so you want to be careful about that. And so attire. We just live in a time when people just don't understand. And, you know, and I talked a little bit about modesty a couple weeks ago, and so we'll leave it at that. But provocative attire. That's why when people go out to clubs and different, they dress a certain way. They dress a certain way. Why? Because it goes with where they're at. And if you dress to go there, what does that say about the people that are there? Right? Anyhow, I will say this, ladies, you should be for your husband. And we'll leave it there. Next, subtle messages. You got provocative attire. It says, and subtle of heart. Now there are, and by the way, there are, again, it's geared to ladies, but guys can do this stuff too. But subtle of heart, like just small, look. Guys are susceptible to certain things. Right? I jokingly say, like, if you're married, you can get whatever you want from your husband. You know, he comes in the house, you tell him how handsome he is, you give him a hug, you give him a kiss, you cook whatever he wants, you're super nice to him. We just automatically pull our wallet out and say, here's the credit card, go get what you want. We're like sheep going to slaughter. And so ladies know how to use that little extra charm, that little extra smile, and that little extra, you know, all that stuff. Be very careful about that. And ladies, be careful about being flirtatious. And guys are like that too. The trap that's initially set with dress is going to be born out of the condition of the heart. See, what we do on the outside is really showing a condition of what's in our heart. People don't even know how to talk. We talk like, it used to be like, phrases in my day, like, you know, they cuss or they talk like a sailor. How many of you remember that phrase? That's normal now in our society for everybody, including ladies. And so let's be careful how we talk. Some things shouldn't be talked about in a group setting and in public setting, but they're subtle. A lady gets noticed, or if you were, you know, a guy or whatever, and then you snare with that deceit. There's subtle little things that are said, that happen, and, you know, people act so innocent, but there's something behind it. The little phrase there, you will notice something wrong in your spirit, but if you're not careful, you may be overruled by your senses. Something is said, that little extra look, that little extra this, or maybe like, hey, good job, a little extra holding on. Subtle. I'll never forget, probably about 30-something years ago, I was listening to a Christian radio station, I don't do much of that now because, you know, there's not many Christians. But and they were interviewing, and they didn't give their names. They were interviewing couples who had, one of the spouses had been unfaithful, and their encouragement was how these couples got through it as Christians. But one lady was talking about she was unfaithful to her husband with their best friends who lived next door, and she said how it happened. What happened is they were constantly together, these two couples. They'd eat together, they'd have games and so forth together and all this stuff. And she said, you know, I noticed that it just seemed like I was, you know, a little too free in how I talked to him and so forth. And she goes, here's when I knew we were done. She said, we were around the table playing a card game, and something happened, and they were all laughing, and he just nonchalantly went and grabbed my hand, like, hey, and he said, in that moment, we both looked at each other, and she said, I knew we were going to have an affair. It had been built up. Subtle little things. So be very careful about that. Don't let your emotions, you feel something, like I mentioned, I think it was last week, you know, the pastor, he was there, and it was a lady that came after church, and she shook his hand, and it was just a little odd to him, and as soon as she walked away, he pulled one of his assistant pastors over and said, if you ever see her near me again, stop it. He said, just come get in our way. Sent something. Now, maybe he was wrong, but he wanted to be careful. But there's always those little, be very careful. You have to text people, and I understand that. But be careful if a guy or a girl throws a little extra something in the text. Right? I mean, I have to text ladies and so forth here, and I don't do it very often, usually in groups, but the secretaries, they know. 1, 2, 3-word answers, one sentence, they ain't getting anything else. Now, we're not even the same age, but I'm just saying, that's just how it is. That's why I love the watch. They can text me, and it's like, yes, no problem, no, later. It's like 4 words. So we got to be very careful. Ladies, that's how guys will try to get you, that little thing like, hey, man, notice you look nice today. Here's how you respond to that. You know, my husband thought the same thing. I'll let him know that you think so. That'll stop it. Oh, pastor, I don't want to be rude. I'd rather be rude than let this bozo talk. All right, here we go. You know, those little, someone DMs you. You know what DM stands for? Dumb move. The reason they're DMing you is because they want it to be private. Right? They use a little word with a double meaning. It's a little inappropriate. And then, I'm just joking. Be very careful. Next, flawed character. You know why sometimes we go overboard on the outward qualities? Now, ladies will go overboard with the outward qualities typically when it comes to dress. Guys will do it with being kind and nice and a little extra thing here or there, right? You say, well, I want them to talk sweet and kind and be sensitive. Then wait till May and go to the parade. That's where you're going to find that kind of guy. But she is, verse 11, loud and stubborn. I know, pastor, she's like super high maintenance, but she's cute. I know. That's why most actresses can't keep a husband for more than a year or two. Oh, she's the most beautiful girl in the world. You know, once they open their mouth, they look super ugly. I'm just telling you. Beauty is more than just looks. It's a spirit. It's a thing. So you got to be very careful. Her outward looks and subtle actions cause you to ignore her obvious character flaws. There's that. It's just, she's beautiful. Can she be a mother? What's the house look like? And it's been a long time, so I'm not, there's no one in here. But I've visited houses before, and it's like, do you own a vacuum? And I understand, look, our house, it keeps clean, but, you know, we have 75,000 grandkids, and they're always there. You know, the house can be clean, the grandkids are over for 30 minutes, and it's like, what happened to the family room? You know, it's like, oh, it's so cute. They'll go home, we'll clean up. It's like, no, we're not doing that. It's like, before you leave, put it away. You know, but still, it's like, I get that. But you know what I'm talking about? It's like, and then just, And so watch for character to me is more important. More important. Proverbs says, this opposite of Proverbs 31, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. By the way, that's not talking if your wife had a bad moment, because you had a bad moment all the time, okay? But what kind of spirit do they display? What kind of spirit do you display? It's the inward qualities that really matter in a person. Look what Proverbs said. Favor is deceitful. It lies to you. And beauty is vain. It's empty. What do you mean? You know, she looks beautiful, and then she takes her makeup off, and it's like, whoa, what happened? No, I'm not talking about that. But it's deceitful because it lies to you. It's deceitful in that it doesn't really tell you what kind of person she is. Right? Or what kind, okay, and again, I keep saying she, but ladies, don't crucify me. When I say that, I mean guys. Maybe that's their pronoun for today, all right? We'll share the pronoun she, her. But you know what I'm talking about? It's guys too, right? Because you see the guy, and it's like, oh, he was so nice, and he bought me flowers, and took me out, and bought me candy, and then the next day he's throwing it at you. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It'd be good for a guy to fear the Lord too. Okay? We are drawn to qualities that will change over time. It's a moving target. You know, it makes me, you know, you hear of couples that, not necessarily in our church, but people, and over the years they break up or whatever, and it's usually the guy, and he leaves his wife after they've had 4 or 5 kids for some lady that's 10 years younger that only doesn't have kids. It's not fair and it's not right. Judge your 40-year-old wife by the looks of a 20-year-old lady that doesn't know how to come in from the rain. Come on, snap out of it. So we're drawn to qualities that will change. And you know what's sad, ladies? We've changed what a lady is like in this world. We want to be men. Okay? I don't believe in feminism. Well, we want equal rights as men. What equal rights don't you have as men? You have the same rights. You can go, and I'm not saying, by the way, it's not that men are better or women are better. We complement and we have roles with each other. And when we fulfill those roles and we work together, it's a wonderful thing. So, but there's limitations, and God, we're limited too. And so we fulfill our roles. But let's have character. You know, we see a lady, she wants to be like a man. Man, what? I don't even want guys to act like that. You know, I'll chew tobacco with you. You shouldn't chew tobacco. It's too good. Smoke it. Just kidding. You shouldn't smoke tobacco. Vape. That's bad for you too. Before we move on, let me help you with something here. Our problem is you know why we have so many train wrecks in relationships, since you asked? Because we judge things on the wrong scale. Yeah. So here's what we say. Here's how we choose, particularly guys, but women sometimes as well. Here's how we choose. First, there's a physical connection. Okay? And then there's an emotional connection. And then there's you could call it mental or value connection. And so here's what's happened with this free love type of mentality in our society. You meet a girl, you meet a guy, you date for a little while, and you're physical with each other. And then, because of that, you're emotionally tied into each other, and the values don't match up. Can I just tell you something? I don't care how wonderful it is, she is, this is. You get married and they don't have the same values, it goes bad really fast. Oh, yeah. Do you know God's economy is the opposite, right? God's economy is this. We ought to get to know each other based on values. Now, I will say this. The initial attraction is beauty. The first time I went out with my wife, that was in place. Like, I thought she was attractive. And that wasn't going to change. And so once I'm in on that, We went out that, and I don't believe in love at first sight, right? But we went out that one time, and I dated a few times. And I'm like, okay, this is unless there's something I'm missing, this is it. This is it. And so we spent the next time getting together, getting to know each other. Values. And I'm like, she's got good values. We're on board with everything. And then after that, the emotions kicked in. Like, I'm all in now. I knew it. I kind of knew it. I mean, you know, I'm not being spooky. I kind of thought that was it. I just wanted to make sure that it's like, I'm in. I love her. And then we get married and the physical comes. And don't give me this nonsense. Well, you know, you drive, you test drive a car. She's not a car.
Come on. Amen.
Okay. And that's why marriages don't last. I don't care how beautiful a person is. You have a child and you don't agree on child rearing or child values. You can't agree on how to run a house or run a home together. That's important. That's super important. The other stuff will come. And so, I hope they got that. Next, selfish mentality. Proverbs 7, verse 11 to 12. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without? Now is she without? Not in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Wait a minute. I don't think. Can I be real honest? I don't think single girls ought to be like that. Go with your friends. Don't get me wrong. But life's not about hanging out. Right?
Yep.
But what happens now is our married and our mothers want to be single again. You're not single. Embrace it.
Amen.
Go with it. Well, I just want to hang with my friends today and do this. And I always got to be out doing something fun or doing, and I'm all for having fun. But you know what's fun? Being with your family. You know what's fun? Being with your spouse. And by the way, every now and then, you have some guy time. Very rare. And there ought to be a purpose. See, what we want to do is we want to be single. Oh, woman, stay at home with the kids, and I'm going to go hang out 4 days a week. That's garbage. You got married. You have children. Man up and fulfill your responsibility. And if that doesn't fulfill you, let me just tell you, where the issue is, there's a spiritual disconnect. You're looking at this world through the wrong type of lens. Okay? I do things with my kids, well, whatever. But I love doing my job. I love being with my wife. And the kids are moving out now. I wish the rest of them would. And then the grandkids. Just kidding. Okay? I love the responsibility. I love being around them. Right? I don't want to be judged on, I said it over and over, I want to be judged on, number one, what kind of Christian I was, number two, what kind of husband I was, and number three, what kind of parent, and then I said grandparent, but we'll flip that. Grandkids are so much better. But always have to be out, always have to be hanging out. I don't get that. There's a little phrase I wrote, many are married, fewer really spouses. Right? Say, well, you know, I got to get out of the house. The old lady's flaming tonight. Well, what did you do to make her flame? A lot of times you're just being a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe if you were home more often, maybe if you did some nice things. A lot of us, if you brought flowers for your wife, she would die. You can collect that life insurance. Like, wait a minute. Are we going to a funeral? Did someone die? No, these are for you. I'm coming, Elizabeth. Anyhow. How many of you know that one? All right, this one, moving on quickly. And I'm not for, look, I get it. Be at home. And I'm not saying you need to be chained to, you know, barefoot and pregnant. No, wear shoes. Just kidding. I'm not saying you're chained to home. I'm not saying that. You know I'm not. But I'm just saying you got it. You're trying to live the single life and you're not. And by the way, when I was single, I couldn't get away from it fast enough. I wanted a wife. I wanted children. I wanted a family.
Yep, amen.
You know what they say, be careful what you want. Anyhow, just kidding. All right. So I say things. I'm joking. You know when I'm sarcastic, right? Physically careless. Number next. Physically careless. So this guy, the story in Proverbs, walking down the street, this lady's after him, right, and all these different things. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an imprudent face said unto him. In other words, she was pretty bold in her physical contact. You know, I don't think singles ought to touch before they get married. Well, let me lay that one out there again. That goes over like a screen door to a submarine. I don't think singles should touch before they get married. Well, you know, Pastor, we're just gonna hold hands. Let me help you, girls. Let me help you. Let me help you. That's not enough for a guy.
Come on.
See, it's a step. You're clueless. Like, I can just hold, you know, hold hands. We're gonna run through the flower. No. If you're holding hands, he's like, what's next? Right?
Come on
now. Let me tell you. Here's human nature. Our college, we don't let them touch. Well, we're here for college days. I want to touch. Go to Brigham Young. Just go somewhere else. So when we started a church in Florida, there was a Baptist college there, and the president's high school son was in my Sunday school class, so I went over there. I'd go over there to their gym and play basketball with them, and so I went over there to make a visit. Now, they had a rule. The only physical touch they allowed was holding hands. Now here's what they thought. You know, just... I'd bring someone up here, but I'm holding some guy's hand. You know, it's just like they're thinking you just like this. You know, you hold hands while you're walking, right? Pretty innocuous. I saw it, Brother Albert. The couples were face to face, this far from each other, holding both of their hands. You couldn't have got a sheet of paper between them. Because that doesn't satisfy. Don't touch. So what happens if you're married, don't be free in touching other people as well. Just be careful. I know if you don't touch, and I know it's the little side hugs, all that stuff, and that's your choice, and that's fine, but be very careful. You're not going to take the next step if you don't take the first step. Okay? By the way, we're so, you know, going, well, I'm going out lunch with coworkers. There's two girls and one guy. No. Uh-uh. Okay, that's your choice, but I'm just saying, I wouldn't do that. If I went somewhere and my wife was having lunch and there was another guy in the group, we'd be having some big problems.
Oh, yeah.
Big problems. It's just not appropriate. Next, false spirituality. Okay, this is great. It amazes me how people can just justify anything. Look what she says. These are spiritual terms. I have peace offerings with me. I have, this day have I paid my vows. It's almost like she's saying, I'm okay with God. She's trying to get this kid in her house. Read this rest of the story, we'll get there. She was point blank. But she's dropping this false spirituality. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. It's amazing what spiritual people can justify.
Yeah.
Right? Years ago, we had a couple in the church, and they were coming, and they were growing, and they weren't married. And, you know, the suggestion was, you should get married. That's the right thing to do. They didn't want to do that, so you know what they did? Say, we got married. I said, really? Yeah, we went to the park. And her and I stood under a tree and we made our vows to God. I'm like, that's great, but you didn't follow the law, so you're not married. They didn't really appreciate that, but that's okay. And I wasn't mean-spirited. I'm not going to be mean-spirited to people. I had to be honest, right? That's not marriage.
Amen.
That's conscience cleansing. And so, you know, we can, well, you know, God was there. No, he wasn't. The tree was there. God said, go down to follow the laws of the land. Go down, get yourself a marriage license, and get married. But we have this, be careful. If somebody can justify anything that's vaguely immoral with spirituality, to me, that's a serious problem. It's one thing when a person sins or gets caught up in a sin and they know it's wrong, right? And maybe it's become to the addictive where they need some help to get out of it. How many understand what I mean? That's a problem for them. But you know what? They know it's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's another thing when they will do it and they will justify it. That's a super bad step. That's a step into not even understanding what the Bible is all about and not getting any help. Next, enticed senses. Enticed senses. In other words, all these things we've looked at, guard yourself. Don't make decisions based on your senses. The only sense you want to use is this, common sense, spiritual sense. Here they are. We met, touch. Notice she had it all. You know, they talk. The ladies can talk. Guys like the sweet talk and the smooth as oil and all that stuff. We like it. Smelling nice and all that stuff. And we don't like the smell of flowers, but we like when you smell like flowers. I always thought, you know, if a girl was really trying to catch a guy, she should wear a perfume that he likes. Pizza. Tell you, every guy in the universe would like you. Like, what's that? Canadian bacon. No, okay, we'll go there. But touch. Come on. Sight. Looks good. Probably a little too good. A little too loose in some places, a little bit too tight in some places. Smell. She's not going to smell like she just came from the gym. And then hearing the words she used. When I think of living by our senses, here's what I think of. Don't be like Eve. Eve made her decision to eat the fruit based on her senses. See, what Satan did is he got her confused about God and his word. Then she switched, once she got confused, she switched to her senses. She looked at the tree and said, doesn't look too bad. In fact, it looks really good. And you know, it'll make me wiser. And it'll give me power over my own life. And she made the result after Satan deceived her into living by her senses, and she made a really bad decision, and then she was doomed to continue to live by her senses. That's how most people live. Just like whatever feels good, whatever I think is best, and just be very careful about that. And then lastly, well, give me 2 minutes, we'll finish. Persuasive words. Look what she says. Now, she just talked about like offerings and vows. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linens of Egypt. That's inappropriate. Okay? Her husband's not there. It's inappropriate. Hey, my bed looks great. I put this nice cover over it. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamons. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. She's inviting him in. I'll leave it at that. Let us solace ourselves with loves. And here, for the good man is not at home. He has gone in a long journey. My husband, he's not here. He's on a work thing. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Like, everything's working in our favor. And then look at verse 21. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. She didn't grab him and throw him in the room. She forced him with the way she spoke. You see, the problem with him was he was too deep in. If the first time he saw her, and he saw her attire, and he saw how she was coming on, and he would have bailed out, he would have been fine. But notice how he stuck around. You know why? It plays to your ego. Wow, she actually likes me. He actually likes me. Could it be they're trying to use you? Be very careful. But she got him with the words. That's where she sealed the deal. Samson was done in by the words of Delilah. Judges chapter 16. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee? When a girl whines like that, just move. Run. I love thee when thy heart is not. If you love me, by the way, if anybody ever says that, if you love me, you would, dot, dot, dot. They don't love you. And let me just say this, girls, don't trust guys.
Amen.
Don't trust guys. You know, we're just friends. I was unsaved. That was the best way to meet girls. Let's just hang out and be friends. Come on. A guy that wants to be your friend's gay.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd care less what color your fingernail polish is.
Yeah.
You know, I was shopping at, I buy my clothes at like Nordstrom, so I get mine at 7-Eleven. I mean, do we really care here? Anyhow. And it came to pass, listen to this, verse 16, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Why? He knew what she was doing deep in his heart, but he was so tied in, he couldn't get loose. Then he told her all his heart. We see Joseph too. Came to pass as she spake with Joseph, day after day, she was trying to get him. And be careful. And I'll say one more thing and I'm done. If you're a lady and you don't have a father, you need to be super careful. You need to be really careful, okay? Because guys will take advantage of that. You want some guy, you know what? You want some guy that cares about you and will take care of you? That's great. It's called marriage. And a guy that won't wait to marriage isn't worth shooting, but he isn't worth anything. Run. Don't ruin your future in the moment. Last thing is this, we're done. The destruction that has been done in our society and families and marriages and individuals by immorality is just absolutely staggering.
Yes.
But here's the deal. You don't have to give in to that.
Yeah.
Right? We know what's best. And look, if you're single, it's worth the effort to get the right one. It is. It pays off in the wrong end. And if you're married, let me say this. It is worth the effort to strengthen and build that marriage. It's worth it. Every second. And so let's be careful and not make a decision. Let's stand together if we may. Just for a minute, we'll pray and then we'll go. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, Proverbs says a lot about this. I didn't even go through everything I could. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to have victory over the sensual society in which we live. Father, may none of us become victims. Lord, help us to strive to find the spouse you want us to have, and if we have a spouse, to have the marriage and family you want us to have. It's worth the effort. Lord, it's not always easy. I understand that. But the devastation, destruction that comes from following the sensual path is just not worth it. Give us strength. Bless us now, Lord, till we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.